I've looked through scripture and picked one or two scriptures out to try and highlight what it is I'm trying to say so that you will get it time and time again. And our God is a great God. Our God is an awesome God. And I don't know about you, but there's been times where I have prayed and it's got worse. Anyone else? Lord, you know, just take away this headache. Oh, and this backache is killing me. You know, it seems to get worse. And yet one of the things that we're encouraged to do time and time again is trust. And it's an easy word to say, trust. It's a difficult concept. But God calls us to trust him. And we know, and I don't think there's many people in this room that have not experienced things that they'd rather not experience. There's not many of us that have not lost those that are dearest to us. And where we pray and we believe and we say, Lord, come and move in this situation. And then it doesn't go the way that we think it should. And we don't know the end from the beginning. And as I was talking with some of my friends' friends who wanted to me to articulate their thoughts, the things that came out was the honesty, the truth about here's a man who was loved, yet he was stubborn. And we don't always want to include that in something. This man was stubborn. He wanted his own way sometimes. But the truth is the truth. And yet, in the mix of that, here's a man who was loved, who was loving, who was caring, who was generous, who had morals. And I started to think about this and started to look at the times where I've prayed. And it seems as if things have got worse. And talking to someone a few weeks ago, and she said to me, you know, I've been praying for Jeanette that she would not get an infection. And what happens? I get a text to say she's got an infection. Today we can testify that that infection went, that the operation was successful, and that there is joy. But at the time, we're called to trust. And it's a difficult concept. So I want to encourage you, us as church, to trust God. Even in the darkest times, as the psalmist says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And that seems a strange concept. I'm walking through a valley experience, yet you're saying, I will fear no evil. Why? And he answers it, said, because my rod and my staff, they will comfort you. My correction and my direction will be there with you. And the key is this, though I walk through. And that's something that sometimes we miss out, that we are called to walk through. And God has given you light. And where there is light, the Bible says there can be no darkness. In Matthew 8:5, it says, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Just picture the story. Jesus, I need you to help me. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. We've heard this scripture many times, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. Just say the word. And I want to encourage you to keep saying the word. God has blessed us. If God be for us, who can be against us? No weapon forged against you will prosper. Just say the word. There's times where we're in a situation, we're in a circumstance, and maybe you're there today. Maybe you're in one of them seasons where you're going, God, just say the word. I want to encourage us to speak out God's word. You know, when we go and we do things, just things, whether we're shopping or whether we're on the streets talking to kids about Jesus Christ, we say the word. God, bless us that we may be a blessing. God, would you send your spirit? God, would you bring your wholeness, your healing? Lord, would you reveal yourself to this situation and this circumstance? So I want to encourage you and myself, us as a church, to devote ourselves to one another, devote ourselves to his word, his teaching. In Mark 5:21, it says this, when Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him. He was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him. My little daughter is dying. Just get the picture. You've got a synagogue leader, someone who's responsible for locking, unlocking, and doing the things that need to be done within this synagogue. A man who was given responsibilities, and his daughter, it says, is dying. And he's heard of a man. He's heard of the miraculous things that Jesus Christ does. And he sought him out. And he says here, he pleaded with him earnestly. Here's a man who was desperate. My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and be able to live. So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And the woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. So here is an individual who's in the middle of a crowd who shouldn't be in the middle of the crowd because she's deemed to be unclean, unfit. She shouldn't be there. And yet, she'd obviously heard about Jesus Christ. She'd heard about the Lord. And the Bible tells us that he is the Word, isn't he? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the living Word, the Word made manifest. So here's a woman who's in the crowd and seeking Jesus Christ. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors. She had spent all she had, and instead of getting better, she grew worse. We've been there, haven't we? Have any of you been there? I've been there. Instead of getting better, I've got worse. So I can empathize, sympathize, relate to this woman, not in the extremity of what's going on in her life, but in the simplicity of what she's saying. I've done everything. I've spent all I have, and I'm getting worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. Because she thought, if only I touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. In this situation, friends, she knew the answer to her question, and she sought it out. She knew the answer to her question, and she sought it out. And in our time of trouble, can I suggest that we seek out the answer to the question? And the answer is the Word, God made manifest through Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh, the flesh became spirit. The Trinity, the triune God, is the answer to our question. So wherever you are, whether you're on the hill or you're in the valley, I want to encourage you that pray, trust, believe, and let God do what God does. Our opportunity, our privilege is to say, Lord, I need you. Let's just touch the edge of his garment. And if we want to go a little further and maybe just imagine, a rabbi in them days would have the promises of God represented by the tassels on their clothes. Yeah? So it's almost when this woman touched this teacher, she was laying hold of the promises that scripture, the Torah, gave to her. And Jesus, the Bible says, is the manifestation of all those promises. All promises are yes and amen, but that amen is spoken by us. And we need to be those that will seek out his Word. And so we can speak his Word, we can touch his Word, we can taste his Word. This woman was in a situation where she could do nothing but trust. At once Jesus recognized power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered. Yet you can ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. And I want to suggest to us today that there is a difference between knowing about God and knowing God. And I think the difference between knowing about God and knowing God is illustrated in this passage, where there was many people in the crowd who saw Jesus, but only one who called upon him, who said, if only. And we have that privilege to touch him, to taste, to listen, to hear. So when you pray, believe that your prayers have been answered. Stand firm. I want to encourage us as we come to the end of this natural season, December, the end of a natural year, that wherever you are, I want to encourage you to keep on keeping on, to keep going, to press in. Jesus kept looking. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. and be freed from your suffering. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came to the house from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overwhelming. Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." Isn't it difficult? We say it from church, don't we? Someone will share a story that a loved one is critical, and we'll say, "Just pray." And it seems so flippant, doesn't it? But just all we can do. I spoke to a gentleman a while ago where a member of his family was suffering. And I said, "Is there anything I can do?" And he said, "Just pray." Now that's an answer to the question. That's all we can do sometimes. There are times where we can stretch out a hand. There's times we can send a letter. There's times we can bake a cake. And there's times where we can just pray. But we can say the word. And the word is God's word. We can bring God's truth. We can bring God's joy. We can bring God's manifestation through his word by praying, by saying, by revealing. And I want to encourage us afresh today to lay hold of what God says. In Matthew 20:29, Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho. A large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside. And when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet. How many times have you been in a situation or a circumstance where you're calling out to God and the enemy seems to come alongside you in the guise of just a word in your ear, a thought, or a loved one, a stranger, or even an enemy, and say, "Be quiet. Don't bother the teacher. Be quiet. He's not interested in you." And we sometimes can lay hold of the lie and miss out on what God is saying because we're listening to the wrong voice. The crowd rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but they shouted all the louder. Friends, it's time for us to shout all the louder. "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." Jesus stopped. You see, there was many people in the crowd, but there was only two that asked for the word to be made manifest. There was only two that asked and said, here's my Saviour, I want saving. We as church, we know the answer to the question because we've read Revelation. We know that we win. Jesus stopped and called them. "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. Now there is a very interesting and significant portion of scripture. Because so often we think that we know what we need. So often we think that God knows what we need, should I say. So often we think that God's not interested in what we have to say. Yet Jesus said, "What do you want?" We can see a man or a woman who is crippled and we assume that they need to walk. But we fail to ask them, "What do you need? What is it you want? Let me pray with you. Let me speak the word over you." The word in season will do miraculous things. What I want to encourage us with is this, that when we pray, believe that God will answer. When we call out to him, believe that he will hear us. When we're in a crowd of people and we reach out to touch him, we will. Let's be encouraged by the fact that here's two blind men who in society were outcasts. And Jesus took the time to stop and to ask. "Lord," they answered, "we want our sight." Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. And when I was talking to Martin about what to say on his behalf for Steve, we was talking about a word, pity. And I said to him, "Martin, that word is mistranslated so often within scripture. And within the world, pity means they're there, I feel sorry for you, you've lost someone, never mind. Compassion is a far richer word, and I've used it before. It means I feel what you feel. Compassion means I have to do something. Compassion is when this woman reached out to touch Jesus, compassion compelled Christ to do something. And that word compassion, it says, and Jesus had compassion on them, touched their eyes, and immediately they received their sight. Sometimes when we touch God, we don't receive our sight. Sometimes it's not immediate, and sometimes it is. But our job, our responsibility, our privilege is to call on his name, to be in the crowd, to reach out to touch him, to be on the wayside when everyone else is silent, and to cry out and say, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, you are an awesome God, as we sung today. So I want to encourage you, and I hope you will be encouraged, to keep on believing that God is truth. In Mark 8, verse 23, he took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he spit on the man's eyes, he put his hands on him. Jesus asked, do you see anything? So we have two sets of situations where people are blind. We have two blind men. They call out to God. He answers them. He heals them immediately. And then here we have another man. He's been led by the hand outside. He looked up and said, I see people. They look like trees walking around. Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. There are times where we will in our life, we will see the miraculous. We will see answers to prayer immediately. And there'll be times where it looks so dim. I want to encourage you to keep pressing in. Because whether you've been suffering for many years, 12 years like this woman, or 12 minutes, or 12 hours, or 12 days, if you press in, when the word is spoken, it has to accomplish something. So I want to encourage you to keep trusting God, to keep moving forward. In Romans 2, 6, God will repay each person according to what they have done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. I want to just use that word persistence. There's times where we need to be persistent. We need to press in. There's times where we need to pray the same prayers over and over again. Yet it seems contradictory, doesn't it? For me as a young Christian growing up, looking through scripture, reading it, listening to it, listening to sermons, on one hand you'd have a minister say, listen, God knows what you want before you ask. Is that true? He knows what you want before you ask. So I would think, so why ask? It's a fair question, isn't it? God already knows what I want. And then on the other hand it says, be persistent. Keep knocking. Keep asking. And the door will be opened. So there seems to be two sides to the same story. Yet I want to say to us afresh, there are times where we will pray and God will answer. And there are times where we pray a second time and a third time and a fourth time. And we stick in with that word persistent. We keep saying, Lord, you have spoken. Lord, I believe, I trust. In Luke 18:4, it says this, For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God. Here's a story of a man who did not fear God, and he did not want anything to do with the Christian walk as such. He says, I don't fear God. I don't care what people think. Yet because this widow keeps bothering me, it's about the unjust judge. She wants justice. She keeps coming and asking and asking. I want justice. I want justice. I don't like her. I don't like God. I don't care what people think about me. Yet because she keeps coming, surely I will answer her. The Lord said, listen to what the unjudge says. Will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? So here's a word of encouragement. There are times we need to pray day and night, believing that God will bring the answer. We may not see it straight away. We may have to be persistent. In Philippians 1, verse 3, I thank my God every time I remember you, Paul says. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Now here's a man that understood. The Lord said, you will know what it is to suffer for me. And if you think about the story of Paul, his name used to be Saul. And Saul was passionate. He was passionate about persecuting Christians. He was zealous because he thought he was doing God's work. And then one day, God spoke to him. He spoke that word why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? And now, with a name change to Paul, he is passionate about God's people. And he has been through trial and tribulation. He boasts in certain things. He says, I have been shipwrecked, I've been beaten. There's not much. I know what it is to be in plenty, and I know what it is to be in want. And here's a man that says, when I pray for others as well as myself with joy. So one of the things I want to say, one of the keys I believe in speaking God's word is to have that joy. I've said this before, and I'm sure you've heard it from other people. Joy is different to happiness. Happiness is we get what we want, we feel happy about it. Joy is something that happens on the inside. We can be in pain. We can be bereft, and yet there can still be a joy within us. Why? Because the Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. If we want to pray with zeal and strength, then I want to suggest to you, speak God's word, be joyful, let God minister to you and through you. Our aim here is to encourage you to be all that God's called you to be in Luke 11 verse 5. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. And a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your, and it says in this version, shameless audacity, your persistence, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Just like the blind man being led, Christ didn't just give up the first time he prayed. He was persistent with him. Just like the two blind men who shouted out. Just like the woman who entered into a crowd where she knew she did not belong, yet she knew in her heart, if only I touch the promises of God, if only I touch his clothes, then surely I will be healed. I want to say to us afresh today, let's not give up meeting together, and let's not give up praying for one another, and let's not give up speaking God's word. Because I want to encourage you that when you speak it, it has to accomplish something. The Bible says so. It says that when the word goes out, it has to not come back void, but it has to come back having accomplished something. So you can be encouraged knowing that when you read God's word, when you meditate on God's word, when you pray God's word, when you speak God's word, when you sing God's word, it is accomplishing something, but you might not see it straight away. You might have to be persistent. Knock, seek, and you will find. I want to encourage us. Mark 14:35. Jesus, the story here is Jesus is going to the Garden of Gethsemane. And we know the story if we're Christians today. Jesus is to be betrayed by a kiss. He's there. And he understands what Father God expects of him. He understands that through the triune, through the Trinity, there was no one who was righteous. Revelation says there's no one righteous to unravel the scroll. No, not one. I will go. Jesus comes to become a substitute for me and you. But he knows that there's a price to pay. And you imagine that turmoil that's going on within fully man, yet fully God. That means he had the power to do something about it, but he chose not to. What does it say? He laid aside his majesty. He laid aside his kingship to become just like me and you. And he's in the garden. He says in verse 34 of Mark 14, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. And sometimes for me and you, We're praying for a situation to change. And I know many of your stories, so I know this to be true, that you have been overwhelmed with sorrow because you feel inadequate. You feel, I can't do this. Lord, you're going to have to help me. I can't see a way out. And my encouragement to you and to me today is to keep saying the word. Listen to what is said in this scripture, and I want to just major on three words. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, he said to his disciples. Stay here and keep watch. Going a little further, he fell on the ground and prayed that if it's possible, the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not my will, but your will. I want to encourage you to be in that place of prayer where you can go a little further. You say, Lord, I can't do this. I want to encourage you, go a little further. Pray a little more. Believe a little higher that God will bring about what he has started. That the word that you spoke, that word of redemption, that word of healing, that word of prosperity, that word that says, Lord, I need a job. Lord, I need healing. Lord, I need you to work in my family's life. Lord, your promise is that me and my household will be saved. I want you to please go a little further. Trust God with his word. Speak his word, whether you are suffering in the crowd or you're being silenced by the crowd. Go a little further. Is this okay? We haven't got much longer. You'll maybe be pleased to know, but maybe some of you go, no, carry on, Andrew. I have at least another hour and a half before the dinner is cooked. Clive's going, no, please. Daniel 9:20 says this, while I was speaking and praying, just try and picture this scene. While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sins of my people, Israel, and making my requests to the Lord my God for his holy hill, while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, a man I had seen in an earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. We say this on a regular basis. Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear. That's wisdom and understanding. Lord, help me to see what your word is saying. In verse 23, it says this, as soon as you began to pray, a word went out. Now, I don't want to manipulate this portion of scripture and just use that word, because that's what I'm trying to get across to us. Just say the word. But actually, even in context, we can see that what's being said to us here, that Daniel was praying. And while he was praying, when he started to pray, when the words left his mouth, he began to pray, a word was sent out. So we need to be encouraged that when we pray, God sends a word. Now, for some of us, it may take a long time, special delivery, and we don't see it for a while. Others is instant. But be encouraged that when you pray, God sends his word. God sends his word in season, out of season, whether it's snowing, raining, hail, or sunshine. God will send his word. Be encouraged. Be of good cheer. In Luke 13:10, on a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues. And a woman there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. So just picture this. On a Sabbath, the day of church, Jesus was teaching in church. He was in the synagogue. And a woman was there who had been crippled for 18 years. So the picture is, here's a woman who we can assume trusts God or wants to listen to his word because she's in church. Here's a woman who's in church who's been crippled for 18 years. Maybe, and I don't know, scripture don't tell us, maybe each one of them years she's saying, Lord, is this the year? Lord, is this the day? Send your word. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But we can assume that because she's in church, because she's in the synagogue, she wants to hear what God has to say. For 18 years, she's been suffering. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." See, what happened was God spoke the word. And it was her time. So I want to encourage us, a short message, but hopefully a message that will be able to say to you and to me afresh, that when we pray, God answers. When the words leave our thoughts or our mouth, God sends the answer. We may be in a situation where we're crowded by everyone else. We're listening to the voice of our loved ones, our dear ones, those that maybe don't understand, and those that do understand. They're saying, "Why bother God? Why bother him? You've prayed this prayer before. You've asked for this before. God's not interested in what you have to say. When will you get it that God won't answer?" I want to encourage you not to listen to the voice of the crowd, but cry out even louder, just as those blind men did. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Father God, I want us, church, to be in that position afresh this year where we can believe what God has said. If God is for me, who can be against me? So wherever you are on your journey, I hope I don't talk too fast for you, but wherever you are on your journey, can we as Grace Community Church encourage you to keep on, to keep seeking, knocking, looking, listening, to keep speaking God's word, to keep believing with joy in our hearts that the answer is on its way. If you're praying for a loved one, keep on praying. If you're praying for work, if you're praying for prosperity in the sense of you want to know God more, keep on praying. If you're praying for a breakthrough in your neighborhood, if you're praying for children, adults alike, keep on praying. You speak the word, this word, and it will accomplish something. And remember this, God loves us. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would have life, and life in all its fullness. Exactly. Fullness means full. Fullness doesn't mean half empty. Fullness doesn't mean half full. Fullness means full. God will give us what we need when we need it. He will give us the fullness of his salvation. Let's invite our two lovely worship leaders. And let's pray. Let's believe. Let's be encouraged. Father God, we thank you that you are all that your word says that you are. And we are all that your word says that we are. Father God, help me today to lay afresh, to lay hold of afresh your promises. Lord, help me today to not let go of the things that you have said to me. Lord, help me today to pray with joy and persistence, to keep knocking, to keep asking, to keep believing that, Father God, that you've called me to intercede for others. Lord, you've called me to be the answer to someone else's question. Father God, I lay down all of me, and I want to lay hold of all of you. Lord, when we come to the end of this year, this season, Father God, I pray that you will give me a greater measure of faith. Lord, that I pray that I will believe your word to be true. I ask this in Jesus' name, and God's people said,
Amen. Amen.